Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, StillParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. I want to bring you another Matthew verse by verse study. We just rolled in, got into another town, working our way to another preach. Had a really, really busy street preaching weekend. My voice is a little sore, but it always holds up for me. We want to get into Matthew 27. We're going to go over to verses 1 through 10. And we're going to keep plugging away at Matthew. We've got two chapters left. Matthew 27, Matthew 28. Let's go there. Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. All right, so we see in the book of Matthew over and over these religious, hypocrite, false, wicked men. Their motive is not just to silence Jesus, but it's to get rid of him for good. They sought to kill Jesus. And if we look all through the Old Testament, there's many archetypes of Christ coming and dying for his people. One of them, Exodus 12:23, deals with the Passover. And the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. He'll not suffer the destroyer to come into your house and smite you. So that blood was protecting them from death and God's wrath. That's what Christ does for us. His shed blood protects us from the wrath of God. Amen. Lots of archetypes about that in the Old Testament. Verse 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. All right, so we talked about this in previous studies. Under Torah law, the Israelites were allowed to execute people for various things. Okay? They were allowed to execute people for various things, but the Romans were under, the Romans had jurisdiction. I had a mocker on the sidewalk there. I had to keep walking. Some guy was yelling and screaming at me. I'm walking down the sidewalk, so lost my train of thought there. I'm going to keep going. The Torah law allowed them to kill some people, to put them to death for certain reasons, but Israel was under Roman law. Under Roman rule, right? And they were the ones that wanted to try and execute anyone to keep total control over what was going on at that time. So they carried out the death sentences. And these priests condemned Jesus, but then they hand him over to the Roman authorities for it to be carried out. That was the point I wanted to make. The guy was walking on the sidewalk yelling expletives at me. Sorry about that. Hopefully that doesn't come through on the audio. Verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. All right, so remember back from the previous Matthew study, we had Judas, and Judas betrayed our master for 30 pieces of silver. And now we see that he changes his mind. That repentant means he's changed his mind about what he's done. He sees the fruit of it. He's convicted an innocent man. He wants out of this dirty deal that he did, right? And while he repented, he goes out, and we're going to see what he does. It reminds us of Esau. Esau did something that he never could get out of, never could find repentance for, never could get past it. Kind of reminds me of Judas here. He realized what he's done. Hebrews 12:16-17. lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So, yeah, sin is nothing to toy with. Esau couldn't find repentance. Judas, it says, repented. That means he changed his mind. But what actually happens to him? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 4, saying, I've sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou that. So he tells them, hey, I did something wrong. I betrayed this innocent man. And they're like, what do we care? Our deal's done. What we wanted to have happen is done. He's confessing to them that Jesus is innocent. They really don't care. They want nothing to do with it, these wicked men. And we can see in them their hearts, their desire. It's not truth. Their desire is betrayal and murder. Out of the heart, wickedness is what comes. Verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went and hanged himself. So that's what I was talking about. It says he repented, but then he obviously must have thought there was no hope. Even after that, what he had done, he went out and he hanged himself. And Judas met a gruesome end. Not only does he hang himself, but the Bible talks about what happened to him. Acts 1:18-19. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue Ekeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. So yeah, Acts talks about him. He goes and he hangs himself after he does this deed, right? He hangs himself, and then he probably bloats up, right? He bloats up, and probably people have said the branch probably broke from where he hung himself, and all of his bowels gushed out. A gruesome ending to Judas. And Jesus warned us about someone's fate that would betray the Lord, remember? Matthew 26:24, the Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe unto any man or unto that man whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. So Jesus is kind of giving us notice that something terrible is going to happen to Judas. Not good. Even though he repented and saw that he was wrong, it didn't matter. It was not going to work out well for him. Those who oppose our Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God Almighty, it does not work well for them in the end. Verse 6, and the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for you to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. So they had rules then. The leaders couldn't use this money. It's considered blood money. So they couldn't use it for general purpose. So they're going to come up with another purpose for this. Verse 7, they took counsel and bought with them a potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Isn't that interesting? It's called the field of blood unto that same day, unto today, or when it was written. Verse 9, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. All right. So as we're going through this, finishing on verse 10 there, this section of scripture, Matthew says it's a fulfilling of what Jeremiah had spoken. And this has caused confusion over the years. We want to talk about this. What's this confusion? What can we know about it? Well, the reference that he gives, that he says, spoken by Jeremiah, it's a lot closer to what Zechariah 11 says. Let's read that. Zechariah 11:12-13 says this. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me the price, if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto thy potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Okay, so kind of sounds like that, right? 30 pieces of silver, talks about a potter. And I think I mentioned this in one of the earlier Matthew studies. 30 pieces of silver was the same price paid for a wounded slave, man or woman slave. Jesus was sold for the same price that a wounded slave would get sold for. Exodus 21:32. If the ox shall push a maidservant or a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Yeah. Our Messiah sold for the same price of a slave. But think about that. He became lowly, a slave unto sin for us, right? He became sin for us who knew no sin. How fitting that he was sold for that same price. So let's get back. So why does Matthew use Jeremiah versus Zechariah? All right. And people have debated about this. The doubters of the Bible want to say, oh, the Bible's not true and it's got faults and it's got errors, and that's one of them. Well, Jeremiah 18:19 mentions a potter. So there's references to a potter in there. And 32 talks of a field. And so many people will say, well, Matthew was just alluding to those connections in Jeremiah that have deeper meanings in the Old Testament, connecting us to Jesus, the Messiah, to come. All right, remember, this is important. Matthew does not quote Zechariah exactly. He doesn't. And usually when there's a direct quote, then you can tie it to a direct quote from the Old Testament. He doesn't quote it directly. All right. So he could be referencing Jeremiah 18, 19, and 32. That could be true. There's another explanation. And some have said that the Old Testament was assembled in three parts. All right, we have it different today. But it was back then assembled in three different parts. The law, the prophets, and writings. And Jesus even talks about this in Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus talks about those three sections that the Old Testament was written in, Psalms being the writings. Well, scholars have said that the book of Jeremiah would have been the first book in the book of the prophets, Jeremiah being a major prophet. And so they're saying Matthew is just blending what Jeremiah would say along with Zechariah, blending them all in the book of the prophets. A major prophet to a minor prophet. Zechariah was a minor prophet. Jeremiah was a major prophet. And this has some validity because in 2 Chronicles 36, we see the writer there also blending what looks like Jeremiah and Leviticus together. It talks about this is from Jeremiah, but it was also really part of Leviticus as well, which is a little different because that's going into the law. But we kind of see a blending there, so that's a possibility that something like that could happen. All right, so that's a couple options. Third option is, how to explain this, people say, and they point out that Matthew says it was spoken by Jeremiah. Okay, did you catch that? Doesn't say written. It says it was spoken by Jeremiah. And some have said it was spoken, and through oral tradition, which there was oral tradition, that years later it was recorded by another prophet. Some have said it was recorded by Zechariah accurately. And that's why Matthew is saying it was spoken by Jeremiah, then recorded by Zechariah. That one's a little harder to maybe put together, but it's still an option. To me, it seems likely that Matthew is pointing to Jeremiah's potter and field references in chapters 18, 19, and 32. And then Zechariah is kind of filling that out as well. But, you know, any way we go with that, what we have is we have a prophecy of a field of blood that was known throughout the ages, sold for 30 pieces of silver, directly connected to Judas who betrayed our Lord. Our Lord predicted he would come all through the Old Testament and die for his people. So doesn't seem to be a real big problem for me when I see the possible alternatives and when I see that God's word is true. And it gives us many, many prophecies of our Lord and Messiah to come in the Old Testament to the New. God's word is detailed. God's word is complete. How awesome that he gave us this record of his revelation to us. We're going to stop right there. Sorry, I got interrupted there. When you're, it's about midnight and I'm walking down a sidewalk, and in the area I'm in, there's lots of beggars. And so I got to be careful out here. A lot of them are drug-induced. Some of them are demonic. Some of them are, I don't know what else you would call it. So you got to be careful. And the Lord looks after us, looks after me. So I'm headed back to Sister Debbie in the van. We're going to get this audio up. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll keep working through Matthew 27. Some brothers and I are going to be working on Ephesians 1 together. We're going to be making an audio of that. So that'll be edifying and encouraging to you. So check out don'tperish.com. Make sure you get caught up. Catch up at the Matthew verse-by-verse teachings. And then look at all the other resources there to help you in the faith. Traveling down the gospel road, preaching Christ crucified, witnessing one-on-one every day. How can we not tell of this glorious Savior and what he's done? Hey, we love you all. Till next time, go and have a glorious day. Lift up Christ, repent, and obey the gospel. God be praised.